America leads the world in medicine development. It matters. We get new medicines first, nearly 3 years faster. 5 million Americans go to work because we make medicines here at home. And not relying on other countries keeps us safe. But China is racing to overtake us. Will we let them, or will we choose to stay ahead? When America leads, America cures. Let's tell Washington to keep us in the lead.
Learn how at americacures.com. Paid for by Pharma.
Yes, it is time for another edition of Inside Boxing Live. In addition to your
life. What a wordsmith you are, Dan. What a wordsmith.
I talk for a living. It's Inside Boxing Live. It's Dan Canobio. It's champion Chris Algieri, and it's presented by PPV.com, the best place to order live pay-per-view events, whether it's AEW wrestling, whether it's Tank Davis versus Lamont Roach, which is going to be announced any day now. Join us in the live chat, me, Chris, Jim Lampley. Follow us on all social media, PPV.com. They're doing a wonderful job as our presenting sponsor. We love working with them. We love PPV.com. Chris, I'm going to preface this. See some bags under my eyes. I'm a little tired because last night, we're recording this on Thursday, October 24th. Chris, first off, how are you?
I'm good. But
got to make sure my guy
is
good.
This is going to be my retort to whatever you say.
I like the shirt, whiskey and steak.
Whiskey, steak, and guns.
And guns freedom. And freedom. If I could sum up Chris Algieri in four words, it would be that. It
would not be that. Freedom, yeah.
I don't know, man. Throw in some like kicks, guns. Maybe.
I would put boxing in there. It would be like beer, boxing, steak, freedom.
What else? Freedom, baby. Speaking of freedom, last night we were in New York City for a Heroes on the Hudson cards, the Bella Entertainment Boxing. I just told you I'm a little tired today, but it's not going to stop me from coming here and recording. It's not going to stop us.
Boxing doesn't sleep, and neither do we.
So we did a show. This is a funny thing. Me and Chris called a fight together last night.
But not
from
together.
Two different locations.
Yeah. I called it from a studio down here in South Florida and for ProBox TV for our feed. And then Dan was calling it for, I guess, the DeBella promotion, MSG podcast.
MSG.
MSG Network. So if you check it on MSG, you'll hear Dan. If you go to ProBox TV, you'll hear me. But we called the same fights at the same time. Literally watching Dan on TV. I'm sending him pictures of him, calling him a dork, and texting him during the show. I see him looking at his phone and making faces. It was funny.
You were watching, like Big Brother was watching, literally.
Yeah. Yep.
You were Big Brother, not Paulie. You're my Big Brother. Paulie's like my angry uncle.
He's your
come on, Canobio.
He's your husband uncle.
Yeah. You guys were picking up my post-fight interviews. So you were technically throwing it to me. And what's funny about this is like we were both calling the same fight. I got to go back and compare the two just to see how you had some fights compared to I had some fights. I know this.
Oh, well, my judging was horrific last night. I was wrong every fight.
That's what I know. A lot of people out there didn't really watch these fights because it was a smaller type of show. I hope everyone did because ProBox had some good numbers and it's going to be available on MSG as well. But just for instance, like the first fight was Jerry Forrest, a lot of boxing fans know Jerry Forrest.
Yes.
He fought Zhihai Zhang. He fought Carlos Da Costa. He fought Michael Hunter. He fought Jared Anderson. It was his first fight back in a while. How did you have that?
Looked in shape. He looked in shape. He was trim.
Yeah.
That was the trimmest I've ever seen him. Oh,
you had him winning, right?
No, I had Earl Newman winning.
What? Really?
Yep.
That right there is blowing my mind.
Yep.
Not because I think you're wrong, because this proves the point that two people can be watching the same fight and see something completely different. Two people that live, eat, and breathe boxing. Me and you, Chris. So you had Earl Newman winning that fight.
Yeah, I thought he controlled the distance really well, especially early on. Jerry came on late for sure. I gave him a big eighth round. He had a big, I think it was a third. I mean, I had it 5-3 Newman. Yeah.
I made a Newman joke.
I liked the distance. I like how he fought from the distance. He was landing some really good, nice jabs and right hands down the middle. But Jerry just kind of dug it out, you know. And it was funny. We're on the telecast. Paulie and I are both saying like, whoever wins this fight, you know, the other guy's going to be like, man, I could have done more. Because they both could have done more. They just kind of.
I think Jerry Forrest was just happy to get through it. The guy's been—he's had a lot of injuries. He was telling us shoulder. I couldn't throw a punch. I couldn't throw my punches versus one of the guys he was in there with. I think it was Jared Anderson. And I couldn't breathe against Takam. I was like, Jesus, bro. Like that's. And but afterwards, dude, stop, he was still talking about
it. I would say stop telling that. Stop telling people that.
After the fight, he was telling me, oh, I jammed my knuckle. Couldn't throw my right. He's just got, you know. But that was fun. That was a fun little thing. I devoured Taco Bell at midnight, which I'm already paying.
Oh, you're feeling. You must be feeling great right now.
I feel horrible.
I went home, and normally after calling shows, I'm kind of like, I have trouble going to sleep, and I normally have like I'll have a cocktail, and I got home, and I was like, well, I was in studio, so I'm not like all jacked up. So I was like, oh, I just went right to sleep, and I feel good. I did sleep in a little bit though. I just finished working. I woke up kind of late. I lifted. I worked out late. That's why I look so. That's why my neck jacked. Is so jacked up right now.
I gotta get to the gym today. No excuses. But I didn't just fall right asleep because I was in the ring doing post-fight interviews. And I haven't done post-fight interviews in the ring in a while. And it's
a grind.
Amazing feeling. It's a grind. But it's also like there's so much adrenaline in the ring when you interview a winner of a fight. Literally 20 seconds after they announce the winner. Like, there's so much energy in that ring because they just won, especially in the main event where we saw a title change hands. Like, So I was jacked. I was in New York City.
It did seem energetic in there. How the crowd was good?
Crowd was good. It was filled with veterans. It was heroes on the Hudson. To those listening right now, like, club boxing is awesome. That's how I got my start. Yes. That's how Chris got his start in his career. It's something that Lou DiBella is known for here in New York, not as much.
Dude, it's how I got my start in like this sport, to be honest. I mean, like, I always watched him at home and it was exciting. But like when I went to my first fight, I was like, oh, I'm doing this. Like that changed my life, literally, going to a club show.
Not to go on a whole aside here, but club boxing is like the heartbeat of boxing. It's how you build fighters. It's how you build fans. It's how you build local stars. And it's completely gone. It's like the middle class in the United States, not to get political. It's gone. So like COVID ruined it. Lou DiBella was putting on Broadway boxing fights since 2001. And he was doing them almost monthly. BB King's in New York City.
That was when it started? Wow. Yeah. That was before
Paulie fought on it. Andre Berto fought on it. Sergio Martinez. Andy Lee. Ton of future champions. But
I fought on it. Nice I fought on Broadway boxing.
You did?
Yeah.
You were fighting on the rival with rocking whatever, Huntington's rocking fights.
I fought on that, but also even before the Paramount shows, I fought when we did the Westbury space, I fought Henry White Jr. on there. So you'll see me on Broadway boxing. Yeah. I fought.
Oh, it was like a who's who. I used to go to those as a kid, a teenager, bring my friends. We'd get like a table at BB King's, a booth. We'd get bottle
table throwing bottles up.
That was Uncle Lou would hook it up. Uncle Lou hooked everything up when I was a kid. He's my dad's best friend, and that guy, meeting him at age 10, Lou DiBella, in his house in Huntington on an NFL Sunday. My dad took me over there in 1997 when Lou was the president of HBO and was living large. Still is living large because he owns two minor league baseball teams. And I was 10 years old, and I was like, "Who is this lunatic?"
I was going to say, picturing your dad and him hanging out is very wild. It's hard for me to wrap my head around that one.
Yeah. Bob's watching this right now. Bob, he's got stories. All right, let's get into it. We'll start off with some news and notes, and then we have five burning questions heading into the end of the year because we're in October 24th, which is kind of blowing my mind. We're almost at the end of the year. It's been an awesome
boxing year. Dude,
it's
Halloween next week. Are you a
Halloween
guy? You
don't feel it here in New York. Not really, but last year I went as Old Man Dan at John Boy.
Yeah, well, you had to. You were in a clown car.
I was literally in a fraternity for 2 years.
Yeah, fraternity. That's a much better way to put it.
I was in a frat. This year I got something playing like Yankee-centric because my Yankees are playing in the World Series Friday night against the Dodgers. Halloween coming up soon. Got some news and notes. First, we'll start with Naoya Inoue, just announced by Top Rank, will be defending his titles against Sam Goodman Christmas Eve in Japan, which will be Christmas Eve morning here in the States.
Which is love so that. Awesome.
Love that.
I might go. I know I talked about this off air. I don't think I've talked about it on air. I might go. My family's not happy about the idea.
They don't like you anyway.
It's a good point. Excellent point, Dan. Excellent point.
No,
my family doesn't listen to the show.
I don't want my mom listening. I was like, Mom, I might go to Japan with Chris for a fight. She's like, when is it? I was like, Christmas. You can't leave.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Did she start crying? That would be my mom.
No, that would have been if I actually booked it. But I'm going to probably wait for the Inoue Nakatani fight, which we'll get into that in a second. But for Inoue, this is his third fight of 2024. It's his fifth fight since the start of 2023. He's taking on all comers. He's digging on mandatory after mandatory. I saw what you posted on your Instagram story about him wanting to defend his belts, just taking up the next worthy opponent. I know there's some out there that want to see him fight MJ, but there's a whole other story there with MJ losing to Topalis and then WBA not ordering a purse bid for that fight. So in steps Sam Goodman, Australian fighter who I like, who beat Reese Aleem a while back and has been sitting on this lottery ticket to fight Inoue. He's cashing it in. I like this fight. I think Goodman will put up – I don't think he's going to win, but I think Goodman will put up one of the better fights against Inoue that we've seen the last couple of fights. Would you agree?
Yeah, stylistically. I think stylistically, because the thing about Inoue is, man, you got to box that guy. He's just – I know he's a great boxer, but if you just stand in front of a fight with him, he's got just too much firepower. And he can outbox you if you're a puncher, and he can punch with you if you're a puncher. You gotta give him movement. You gotta not let him get set. You gotta stay away from those body punches. And lately, he's been open to jabs. You know, we saw that the last couple fights, he is getting touched up more at these bigger weight classes. But yeah, I agree, Dan. I think this stylistically, it's gonna pose some problems for Inoue.
Yeah, if you're looking to poke holes in Inoue, which everyone wants to do, when you get to the top. You know, you get a lot of shots coming your way, like us with this podcast. We're the best podcast in boxing. People taking shots at us. People taking shots at Inoue in a way, like, oh, he went down his last fight against Neary. He gets hit a lot. I don't think Goodman has the power to do that, but maybe Goodman could outwork him. Throws close to 60 punches around. Let's see. I got some stats here. Lands his jab. Got a very, really educated jab. Six jabs around. Throws 30 jabs around. Stick of that in the face of Inoue. Lands 37% of his power. Like I said, not really that heavy-handed, Goodman. But this is just another chance to watch Inoue fight. This is another morning to watch Inoue fight. For Christmas Eve in there. We'll be doing some type of live thing. If you're not there, we'll be covering it because it's a lot of fun. And for Inoue, it's just a way to get back in there. And did you see this? He posted a picture with Turkey.
I did see that.
What does that mean? Because Inoue... Gervonta and Canelo were the three fighters that were yet to dabble into the Turkey sweepstakes, who are their own economies, which we've talked about on this show. But Top Rank does have a partnership with Riyadh Season. So, you know, they're not moving like...
It could be just in a way being respectful, you know, because he hasn't been a guy who's spoken out against Turkey the way that Canelo has or that Tim Zhu did. So, you know, Japanese culture is extremely respectful in that way. So it could be that. Could it be that they're potentially working together? I don't think so. I don't think Inoue needs to do that. I don't think he does his own thing. He moves. He is his own orbit. And I don't foresee that. I mean, it's possible. There's the picture there.
There they are. They're in. He says, Naoya Inoue with his excellency, Turkey Shaluk in Tokyo, Japan. So it's not like they had some random run-in. This is kind of seems pre-planned.
Yeah, I mean, if you can take the trip over to Japan and you're one of the major players in the sport, you know, His Excellency is gonna request a meeting with the monster. You go to Japan.
That suit.
Nah, he is. He's
dude. That's a suit, nines, man.
Double breasted.
What if I wear that for the Tyson fight?
Dude, double breasted with the turtleneck
and the chain.
Sharp. And the chain.
This guy. He's a superstar, dude.
He's a legit star.
Aura. When I met him in June, Aura. He has it. Yeah, I'm interested to see where that goes because, you know, on a very much lower level, when I was interviewing Jerry Forrest for the fighter meetings, and
I mean, not that much lower, Dan. Let's be honest.
I mean, yeah, it's different. That's the beauty of the show. We'll talk about everyone and everything. Jerry Forrest. I'm talking to him in the fighter meetings. I'm like, what do you want? What do you see yourself in a year? Like, you've been in there with some big names. He's like, Saudi Arabia. He like cut me off. He's like, if you're a professional boxer and your goal is not to make it to Saudi Arabia right now, you're not doing it right.
Dude, I wish I was still fighting. I would be going for that Saudi money too.
I respect that honesty from Forrest, and Inoue's going to listen. I ultimately think Canelo will listen. He's not dumb. Like, they're negotiating. It's high level negotiating from Canelo's standpoint. Like, even when he says things in the media, Canelo's smart. Like, when he says stuff in the media, it's all negotiation. Boxing, especially, it's a business before it's a sport. So, Inoue breaking bread with Turkey, Canelo could be doing the same thing. I wouldn't be shocked if PBC, Gervonta get in that mix. You just have to listen. I mean, it's just how it works. So, Inoue Goodman, December 24th, like that. Any other news and notes? We could break down this Jack Catterall Progre fight very quickly because I'm not exactly sure what's going to happen in this fight. I was pulling up some stats, Chris. Regis Progre has landed 36 punches versus Haney, 42 against Zorilla. That's 78 punches in 24 rounds, which averages out to 3 punches landed per round.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I just think Regis has passed. He's just passed his time. I think this is a good fight for Jack to take. It just seems like
a wash allegation is true.
I don't know if he's washed per se. I just think he's 35? 34?
Yeah, he's up there, man. He got a late start, and he had so many stops, so many breaks in his career, things that were outside his control. Another guy that was signed to Bella, so I got to work with him early on in his career. Another guy that fought on Broadway Boxing. And then, Hurricanes displaced, promotional disputes. Ultimately, when it gets into that Super 6, fights Josh Taylor, super tough. Gets some huge money from Triller. His career is wild. Like, gets some big money from Triller. Gets some even bigger money to fight Haney. Probably bigger
money.
He's
one of the guys that sitting out actually benefited. He normally doesn't. Like, they waited and they struck while the iron was hot. It took a while for him to get there. You know, he took some risks, but then he sat out quite a bit in a lot of his prime, and he missed a lot of opportunities there, but he made a lot of money. He's a two-time world champion, so it's really hard to knock his career. I mean, it's going to be tough to, like, think. Listen, we're not going to be writing poems about him, but the guy is going to be in the books.
Yeah, I'm not sitting here criticizing his career because
not at all.
10 out of 10 fighters would take that career. World champion, ton of money, setting his family up and all that. I just don't know, beat some good fighters as well. He did. I just don't know what he has left in the tank, and those stats kind of illustrate it.
And Jack is moving, man. He's got momentum right now. He's another one. He's had a career that was, up and down and left and right. But I think this is the most momentum he's ever had in his career, and it's right now, and he's in his prime. So
you know what sucks? It's kind of crazy. It's like his biggest fight was that the first Taylor fight where I thought he won, a majority of people thought he won. He wins that fight. He is the undisputed champion at 140 pounds.
Yeah.
And he gets a Teofimo fight. He gets anyone at 140. But instead, he gets robbed. And then he has to sit out.
Yep.
Which,
a long time.
Does this happen in any other sport? No. So I'm always going to be rooting for Jack Catterall. It's two guys that I'm rooting for. I just don't know what this means for the full title picture at 140 because
two likable guys, but I don't know. This fight doesn't get me excited.
It doesn't. I'm not gonna lie. It doesn't get me excited. I will be watching. It should be big over there. Catterall has a nice fan base. Those fans over in UK are nuts. For Catterall, he beat Josh Taylor in the rematch that was made famous for Bob Arum rolling into the ring, literally. He rolled underneath the ropes. It's on Fight Life. He stole the mic, which, Arum doesn't usually do this. He'll go nuts in interviews. He's like, give me the mic. It's awesome.
Bro, what is he? He's 96 years old. He's rolling under ropes.
He rolled on. Because you got to watch
this. He's not Vince McMahon. He's a real person.
Bro, it's insane. If you haven't watched the Fight Life on ESPN Plus, go watch it. This episode was awesome. Jack Catterall. Josh Taylor episode. So they have that crazy rematch, and obviously Arum thought that Taylor won, and he's so pissed off by the decision. I don't know. He got so triggered. He was like visibly angry. Arum, I've seen him angry before, but like not like this. And he goes, "Get me in the ring. Get me in the ring." And they show him, and he literally rolled underneath the bottom rope. He gets up. He steals the mic from the ring announcer or the guy doing post-fight interviews, and he just goes on this tirade where even Hearn was like laughing. Then Hearn stepped back, like almost like a moment of like respect. Like, all right, oh man, we'll give you your, we'll give you the floor here. But Catterall won that rematch, and that was some nice justice there. Then he also beat Jorge Linares, which I was saw Linares last night, who's in the corner of Yoshida. Like, that guy's, he's a retired fighter. But I think Catterall has a lot more momentum.
I don't think if you ask him, he's retired.
Well, no. There's no, like, you're the only fighter that I know around that age that it's actually like, I'm done.
No. Yeah. I have so many people like, oh, well, what could you? I'm like, no, I'm done. I mean, guys, I don't need to go back. I'm, all these guys are like, even Paulie, I'm like, we were talking about putting on suits, and I was like, get in shape. And he was like, ah, if I get in shape, I'm going to want to take a fight. And I'm like, no, dude.
Paulie. Nonito Donaire, I work with him. He's training now at the Puerto Rico gym with Jake. Gabe Rosado is a little bit younger than you, but he posted fight news coming.
Yeah, yeah.
You guys are sick. Yeah. You guys are sick pups.
It's the money, dude. It's the money.
It's more, yeah. And it's also just like getting it, like, just that desire and like just that, like,
listen, the desire never dies, but it's the money. The desire you put away, guys. It's the money. I was really smart with my money, so I'm not worried about it. I'm not hurting, so
and you're getting rich off this show.
Well, yeah, I mean, I told you that 2.5 years ago. I'm like, Dan, this is it, buddy. This is my retirement right here.
PPV.com, baby. So speaking of getting rich, the odds: Jack Catterall -350. Regis Prograis +265. So if you think Prograis can turn back the hands of time, I think Prograis is the bigger puncher.
Definitely.
Maybe, arguably, yeah.
Yeah.
Catterall by decision -170. So you're going to have to put up a bunch of money there to get some return. Prograis by decision is +750.
Wow. Well, fighting
I don't think he can do it. Don't think they're going to rob Catterall at home. So those are the odds. I haven't really thought too much about it. When I see a 750, my eyes light up and I see, you know, a name next to it like Prograis, but I just gave you those stats and they're not good. That's the biggest fight of the weekend over in the UK. Let's get into our burning questions.
Let's move on. Yes.
Burning questions. Number one, we put these together. Me and Chris put these together. I did poll the fans on Twitter and they gave some good ones, and I have a few voicemails that I'll try to play. How will Usyk versus Fury 2 play out? Burning question number one. They met at a press conference. It was awesome. Usyk came in as the hitman in a full hitman attire. This guy is, if he wasn't scary enough, comes as a hitman. He's got a briefcase, and in the briefcase is a picture of him just pinballing,
cracking Fury.
And Fury signed it, which awesome, really cool. It was, you know, it was a cool press conference. These press conferences kind of suck, but that made it fun. How will this fight play out? How will Usyk Fury 2 play out? Will it be Usyk just dominating like he did towards the end? Will Fury realize, hey, I can't dance around in here with this absolute freak of a fighter? How do you see this playing out?
See, rationally, I think Fury goes out there and wins, and he stays disciplined. And because, listen, there were times during that fight where I'm watching this, I'm just like, it's just not fair. He's just too big and he's boxing too well in those middle rounds. And then he gets cracked, you know, and then that becomes a whole different fight, and he's recovering for the next three rounds. And then he comes up and posts a good 12th round. So he can do it. But can he do it for enough rounds to get the victory? I think he can. And so rationally, that's what I'm thinking from my boxing mind. But I don't know, man, deep down, even watching that press conference yesterday, I'm watching body language. I'm watching the body language of these guys. And dude, Usyk does it again. Usyk does it again in a similar type fight.
Yes, I'm leaning Usyk. He's going to be the favorite now. We have broke this fight down at length.
I famously changed my mind last time, and I was right. So I might.
Well, you're on multiple shows, Chris, so you could say one thing here, and then people have.
No, but I was pretty dead set on Usyk pulling it out. We did it on our show, and
people are calling you out.
Yeah, good.
They're on to you in the comment section. They say, Chris, I heard him say this on ProBox, and he says this on there. Like, they're catching
up. But it comes down to what I say last, and what I say last is always on this show.
Last, it's like bottom of the ninth. Whoever gets Chris Algieri.
I always preface that. I'm like, listen, I'm a flip-flopper. I change my mind a lot, and this is a very nuanced sport, and I always go with my gut at the end. I start out rational.
You're also just in front of a mic a lot, so – people want your opinion.
But I have to see weigh-ins. I have to see that before I can make a real prediction. I always say that.
That's the beauty of our show is when we do our prediction. We wait until the last remaining time.
So everyone listening at home, if you want the most up-to-date Chris Algieri, it's here. It's on this show.
Inside Boxing Live. So we're talking about like the body language, we're talking about the mental aspect of it, which I think is a huge part of this fight when you're dealing with two mental guys. And I mean that in the nicest way possible. Usyk is mental strength is on another level. Fury's is all over the place, which is kind of his it could be his benefit. It could be his downfall.
He's crazy like a fox.
Crazy like a fox. You got to be to step into that ring. What's just crazy about Fury and what things he was saying. And you got to take everything Fury says with a grain of salt. This guy has contradicted himself a million times since the beginning of his career. But he just said on an interview with Queensberry, he says, I am just boxing for the money now. But he insists that he still will fight to the death, which is the biggest contradiction. Are you fighting for the money or are you fighting for the pride and the glory? So like he started off the statement with, I'm just fighting for money. And he's probably in his head like, that sounds bad. I'll die in that ring also. But then I don't have any money, though, because I'm dead. So that's another – like, you're talking about mindset. Like, I think Fury is literally at the end of the rope. Didn't like the way he looked in his last couple of fights. And now he's just admitting that, you know, I'm just going for the highest bid, which you just said before, which every boxer does.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's part of it too. But I don't know, man. The guy's a warrior. He really is. And listen, and so I'm give it a little – inside fighter minds when it comes to saying something like that. He's like, oh, I'm only fighting for the money. But then you get in there, dude, and the competition and the warrior spirit comes out of you and you end up fighting to the burger no matter what. So, I take everything he says with a grain of salt when it comes to Fury because I think his mind is a fantastical place. I'm using made up words now because
fantastical. It's
got fantastical. He's got a fantastical mind, I'm sure. Just be that thing is just pew. I wouldn't. Again, take everything he says with a grain of salt, but that man's a warrior and it's in his blood. It's in his genes. And on fight night, he's going to fight his ass off. There's no question.
I do think there was a sense of embarrassment from the Ngannou fight that right into this Usyk fight. This guy was on top of the world, always on top. What he had over everyone is I've never been beat. Yep. Even that draw was BS to Wilder. I'm the best heavyweight of this generation. I'm the king. Fury rules. My dad will headbutt anyone who thinks otherwise.
Reminds me then, of a Tommy Boy. Oh, Doyle rules. Fury exactly. rules.
That's like those.
The boxing version of them, of O'Doyle rules.
6'9" Furies. If you haven't seen his brother, Shane, and all those guys, they all look the same. They sound the same.
Well, his dad is terrifying.
That is the most terrifying person I've ever
terrifying.
Seen.
He's scarier than Tyson.
Yes. And his brother, Tommy, is a different mother because you put those two next to each other. One is a legit male model.
Reality TV
Fury.
Model. Yeah.
Tyson Fury, who when I've told people is 35 years old, they're like shocked because he looks like he's 50. But that's just boxing. Like his body is insane. But the thing with this is like we're talking about, he's at the end of his rope. You know, if you listen to our show, we'll tell you he's not fainting as much. He's getting hit a lot, as we saw in that ninth round when they could have stopped it. He was winning that fight.
Yeah.
I think he can win the rematch. If he wants to win the rematch, he can. I know that sounds insane, but the odds are going to be stacked against him, and I would put money down on Fury as we head into. I just also can't believe this is actually happening, this rematch. I was convinced that it was going to be February, March of next year.
Same. Until I saw this press conference, I was like, oh, okay, it's happening.
One thing I'll say about Turkey is he said these guys are getting up there in age. He must have, you know, upped the offer or something. He's like, we're doing it now because who knows in boxing. So he's,
remember last time he made that stipulation. If any of them pulled out, they had to pay like a big fine. I don't know if you can really do that, but it just shows you that he's making things happen.
I like that. I like that aspect of it. I like that this rematch in before Riyadh season. This match maybe not have happened without Riyadh season, but now with Riyadh season, it's. Let's go. Like, we're not waiting until March. We're not going to push this off. Like, they're already talking about pushing Beterbiev Bivol off, like taking interim fights, fight next October, which I think is nonsense when you're getting up there in age. I hate that. But over to Usyk's side quickly. I mean, how do you bet against this guy? How do you go never against this guy? All he does is win. All he does is win.
I did that big long thing about him on one of our shows. I'm like, listen, you don't beat this guy. Like, he just doesn't know how to lose. And listen, we say that about a lot of guys. He's different. He is different. I just think it's crazy that he's been able to do this at such a high level over and over and over again. And you can't knock that.
He has the elixir. He knows how to beat Fury. And I think Fury knows that. Fury can fight the perfect fight, and then the ninth round, where Usyk really comes alive, at ninth, tenth round, just catches him. Reddy can hurt him. Fury knows deep down inside, this guy can hurt me.
Usyk knows if you can hit him, you can hurt him. If you can hurt him, you can stop him. So it's not a crazy idea to say that, you know, Usyk by KO.
Wow. I haven't seen the odds yet. Can't wait. So December 21st, we're getting Fury Usyk 2, Usyk Fury 2. And then December 24th, we're getting Inoue. And then December 14th, we're getting Tank.
December's usually a pretty strong month, though. We usually have a pretty good month for boxing.
That's when the budget is like at its end and everyone's like, we got to spend this money. So let's put these fights
Or together. We have no more money left. And we're going
I've heard that
New
before.
Year.
Yeah. From a few sponsors before we blew up. Eddie Hearn, interesting quote before we move on to the next question. This is some Eddie Hearn 101 right here. This is Eddie Hearn at his best. Eddie Hearn has indicated that Joshua may not be ready for the Dubois rematch in February and could instead now target Tyson Fury in May. AJ wants revenge. The only issue is timing for the rematch. It has to happen in February. That means training camp will have to start in a couple of weeks. AJ has a few nagging injuries, so physically, it's just a case of whether AJ is ready or not. It would be frustrating if we made the Dubois rematch and Fury won versus Usyk. Then we're sitting here going, hang on a minute. We're fighting Dubois, but we could have fought Fury in May for the biggest fight in boxing. Are you thinking what I'm thinking here?
That is politicking.
Like, why would Joshua jump the line here? Or why isn't it Dubois Fury? Business over sport.
Because politics, bud. Politicking.
Politics.
I love how they don't even hide it anymore. They just write in your face. Now we're doing
How
this.
How does Daniel Dubois feel about reading that? Man.
Ah, damn it. I guess I don't have any big fights. All right. I just sit right
there. I do want to see Fury Joshua, but
of course, but we got to have
It's lost so much luster.
Got to have some accountability in the sport, for Christ's sake.
I think they realize that Fury's really at the end in terms of he's getting so much. I mean, he says I'm fighting for money, but I mean, how much? It's got to be 200, 300 million in the last couple of years. Insane.
Yeah.
So.
But also, he's getting hurt every fight now, too. So.
Yeah, he's at the end.
That runs out.
Josh was at the end. All these guys, they're all in their late 30s, all these heavyweights, besides Dubois, who's just 25.
Oh, he's budding, yeah.
Moving on to burning question number two. Does Haney Garcia, does Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia 2 happen in 2025?
I think so.
I agree.
If it makes dollars, it makes sense. And it makes a lot of dollars.
It does make a lot of dollars. Ryan Garcia has been chirping a lot on Twitter as usual, but not just about conspiracy theories and RFK Jr.'s food plan. It's about him getting back to the ring. He's gone back and forth with Bill Haney. Bill Haney is, I want you in VADA. Ryan Garcia is saying, well, how about I enroll in something else? Why does it have to be VADA? Because I think VADA is connected to Conti. And Conti is with Haney. They're just once again chirping it with each other. Ryan Garcia cannot fight until April of next year. I've said at length, I've said numerous times, that one of the biggest fights of next year and one of the biggest fights of this year, rival with Usyk Fury, was Devin Haney versus Ryan Garcia. For all the wrong reasons, that fight was huge. And a rematch is even bigger because of all of the nonsense that has played out.
Way bigger.
During the lead up and after. With the lawsuit, this fight's huge. And anyone that says otherwise, you're just not following it like we're following it. Like, it's not the biggest rematch. It's in the discussion as one of the biggest rematches of the last 20 years. In the discussion. Doesn't mean it's at the top, but it's listed along with the Canelos and Golovkins, the Pacquiao trilogies.
It's like Jake Paul hype, except it's with real boxers and like top high level guys, you know? So.
Yes. I agree. It's got the casual fan looped in. You know, there's when people know Ryan Garcia, like, you know, when talking to this this female, yeah, no big deal. She goes, so what's like Ryan Garcia's deal? That was her question. Like open-ended, just like, so what's Ryan Garcia's deal? I was like, what do you mean? I was like, he's a professional fighter. She's, he's kind of crazy, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, when's he fighting again? Isn't he supposed to be fighting Devin Haney? This is someone that has, does not follow the sport at all.
Obviously.
So, yeah, I know. So Ryan Garcia does have that crossover appeal, and Haney is the heel. I think they should do it. Haney's obviously not fighting again this year because there was that rumor maybe December. Maybe he is. That would have to happen, like, announced very quickly. There was that Liam Parra rumor that quickly dissipated. I see him in the gym working with Freddie Roach, which I love. I don't know. He should just – we've said before too, Chris, he should just sit out until next year because he took so much damage physically, mentally, emotionally. And Ryan can't fight till next year. So
nah, I think Haney needs to get a get-back fight because he's a rhythm fighter. He's what?
When does he do that?
Early next year.
So then
activity's important. Yeah, activity's important.
So summer 2025, Haney Garcia.
Activity's important, especially for a guy like Devin. Ryan can roll out of bed and fight. Ryan can roll out of bed because he can punch and he's fast, you know, and he's big. Obviously, he showed that. Devin's going to need to get moving. Devin's going to need to find his rhythm. You know, he's a stylist. He's a boxer. You got to have all the pistons firing. You got to be ready to go. So
I agree with that. I do think we see it next year.
And psychologically needs to be ready.
Yeah, absolutely. Moving on. Burning question number three. Will Gervonta Davis get a worthy dance partner in 2025? I'll answer this. I say yes.
I mean, how could he not? Forget. If he doesn't, people are going to, like, what are we
doing?
It's
almost like, guys, yes, he will, to answer this in short form. Longer form, he was supposed to fight Lomachenko in November. That mm-hmm. fight was done. Mm-hmm. It was at the one-yard line before Lomachenko was like, I'm done, no mas. What he used to do to fighters, make them quit, which is fine. We've talked about this too. Lomachenko deserves that right of the credit that he's built up in his career. What is Tank going to do for the remainder of his 5 to 6 years left at physical peak? Watch boxing over the years. They eventually get in the ring. Like the Shakur fight will happen. The Devin Haney fight will happen. It's the annoying part is getting to that fight and now waiting till age 30 for Tank to quote unquote have a worthy dance partner where I feel like he has a pretty good resume. I do think we see Shakur. I don't know if it's next year versus Tank. What do you think?
I mean, I'm not going to broach the Shakur thing. I don't know if that happens next year, but I do think that Tank does take on some big guys at some some point next year.
If it's not Shakur, then who is
it? Zepeda, whoever, you know, anyone else who's in that weight class. I like that fight. I don't think Lomachenko wants to fight him. Yeah, you know, it doesn't seem like Lomachenko wants to fight those big guys anymore. And I don't blame him. But listen, that's not out of the question because Lomachenko does what he wants, and you never know. But I said this a while ago. I thought Tank now approaching 30, I think he's going to take on real guys now. For whatever reason, he's being built up to a sick situation, but the time is now. The iron's hot. You only got a couple more years left in your prime. You know, you once you hit 30, you're looking at 2-3 years of your absolute prime. And that's where you need to be fighting those tip-top guys. Because, guys, after that, things change. So if you want to stay undefeated, you want to fight the best guys in the world, he's got to do it now.
There's a guy in his late 30s. Things change, guys.
Things change.
You wake up with weird aches. You wake up with hair in your ears.
Dude, mid-30s, it's over.
It's Jover.
It's over, dude. It's over.
I do think Shakur next year is the fight everyone wants to see. And the lower weights, it's a fight I get asked about quite often, is Tank and Shakur. Shakur is fighting.
Shakur's not coming off an injury right to Tank. So
no, he's coming off the injury right to Zepeda.
Well, we'll see.
So they say.
So even if Tank and Shakur were to happen, it's going to be the end of next year, if not early 26.
Frustrating. I want to see Tank in there. I am a big believer in him. I know what the plan is.
Yeah, we're big fans on this show. We're big fans of both guys, but.
Big fans of everyone. That's a knock that I see. I saw one commenter like, Dan, you just praise everyone. It's like, yeah.
So what?
It's a hard sport. And if you're coming for to watch me, fake.
But also, you've spoken. You spoke to all these guys. You speak to these guys. Like you know them in ways that these people don't know these people. You know, you're dealing with real human beings. It's different.
Yeah, and I've seen that those chirps. Like you were only saying nice things so you can keep your interview status with PBC. No, like this is a pro boxer podcast. This is like I know how hard the sport is.
Guys, he's a podcaster. He's not a writer.
And also, like, I'm rooting for everyone to like the sport to flourish, so the show can continue and the sport can continue, and everyone can fight each other. I'm just keeping it real. Like, if you're looking for like fake drummed up like takes, like hot takes, and like fake, like even if you don't believe them, I've never been that type of person to do that. Moving on, how strong will the Saudi takeover be in 2025?
I think it might end in 2025. I don't even know.
Well, that was another question that we were broached.
It was funny because when you first broached that question, I was going to be like, why not change that to, is it going to make it through 2025?
Well, you can say not strong. You can say weak.
I don't know. I think you can go strong until it goes away. Listen, I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know if it was Turkey or Riyadh, but like it was like a straight week of just tennis. And I was like, "Oh, like did we move on from boxing? Are we out now?"
That should be a sign of more. Like they're getting into these individual sports. They're getting into sports where they can infiltrate quickly, and tennis is one of them. They were getting Nadal, who's pretty much retired.
There's only so much Turkey.
Soccer,
you know, there's only so much Turkey. If you start spreading them out to all these other sports, listen, the money's essentially endless, but there's only so much Turkey. If Turkey really cares about this sport, I think if Turkey goes away, Riyadh goes away. I think it's really driven by him as being a fan of this sport, just like you and I are. But if he gets spread out amongst other sports, I think it's going to be less Turkey time for boxing means less Riyadh for boxing.
Yeah, he is a fan. I know that for a fact. He is cares very passionately. If you just think about it, if for some reason he's not there, like I do still think it will go on, but he won't be like they won't have that figurehead. Who knows? I mean, you don't know how much they're into. They can say tomorrow, like, "Oh, we're going to build a roller coaster instead."
That's what I mean.
But I mean, I don't think that's going to happen next year. I do think they're in it. I think they have a plan. They're smart. You know, that's a reason they have trillions of dollars. I think this is a longer plan, which the plan all along is to get people to come to Saudi Arabia and have Saudi Arabia be a tourist destination to show we can put on big fights. We can have people come here for a fight weekend or tennis weekend or golf weekend. I don't know. We'll see. Because what I did hear as well is that the LA thing is never going to happen again. They were not happy with any of that. And I heard that the government in Saudi told them, like, these fights have to happen in Saudi Arabia. No more going to the U.S. and doing them. The big ones. I don't know if that changes, like, the Wembley stuff. Because I thought Dubois Joshua, I mean.
Yeah, that was awesome.
That was 100,000. So, I don't know. It's all up in the air. And as a boxing fan, you kind of know how this story goes. A new money man has joined the sport. You're skeptical. You're excited. It's all of that. And I think fans are both right now.
Normally when the money men come in, there's an end to the money. And they get their butt kicked. They lose a bunch of money. And then, you know, they disappear.
Yeah. Well, yes, too. But has anyone ever come in the sport with this amount of money?
No, that's my point. That's my point. It's essentially endless. So
I wasn't listening.
Real difference here. What's that?
My brain isn't functioning fully. But you said that the rub here is that they have more money than anyone that's ever entered, right?
Correct. Right. And it's not like, you know, it's not like Jay-Z coming in like, "Well, I have this amount of money to play with this," because basically that's what you're doing. You're playing Rock Nation or whatever. You're playing with boxing.
50 Cent. A bit.
Yeah, 50 Cent. Same thing. I like boxing. I want to get into boxing. But, you know, I'm only going to lose. I'm not looking to lose $500 million here or spend $500 million here. Turkey's like, I don't care. I love boxing. I want to make the best fights possible. I love this sport. I want to make it good. So
he's been in it a little more than Rock Nation was interesting. I remember being at that first fight card.
Mm-hmm.
Rihanna was there.
Was that the Floyd one?
No, that was your boy, Tommy Rendon. Fought Dustin Hernandez. First... Yeah, main event.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Theater at the Garden. Jay-Z there. Rihanna. So this is 2014. I was training CompuBox as a punch counter. And my dad said, I think it's time for you to work a live fight. You've graduated to the live fights. So I go. I'm ringside. And directly across from me is Rihanna. Talk about... I'm not going to be laser... Unbelievable, bro.
Yeah.
The most beautiful woman I've ever laid eyes on. Mm-hmm. Like, I turned to dust. Because I had to go... Like, I saw her across the ring and I like made my way around just to get a closer look. And I literally stopped dead in my tracks. I was like, holy... I didn't really know they made women like that. But my point being is...
They don't, by the way. That's she's one of one.
Dude, you're going to be locked in when you're doing CompuBox. And I told my dad, I was like, Dad, tonight I passed flying colors because the ultimate distraction, literally in my peripheral.
Yeah, but also you had to count Tommy Rendon. He's not a really active guy.
I had Rendon too.
Doesn't throw a lot of punches.
I was the B-side. That's your buddy, so you can say that. I always had B-side for CompuBox in those days. Rendon, I counted your punches, bro. Last burning question. Does Canelo Alvarez keep it on autopilot? And I mean that with the highest respect, Canelo. I know we're buddies, and I could come visit your house soon in 2025. That's another burning question. Will Dan Canobio get on a horse with Canelo Alvarez in 2025 in Lake Tahoe?
I'll tell you that one's not happening. But
no.
No.
I don't want to give away too much. It might happen.
That's not happening.
We are planning some things. PPV is planning some things. Canelo loves us, loves the show, loves that little white guy, me. You know,
You guys went viral together, so.
He didn't care, though. I told him. He's like, really? I was like, how many views?
Yeah, 10 million. He doesn't need the care.
I said, 10 million views. He goes, oh, cool.
Cool story, bro.
He didn't give a shit. It was like, this is the biggest moment of my life, but you don't even give a shit, Canelo. That's what makes our friendship so beautiful. But apparently, he told his PR person that he loves PPV because they got the funny white dude, which I'm assuming is me. They got the fighter, you, and they got Lampley.
Oh.
That's what Canelo said.
That's the trifecta right there.
Can't get any better.
You got the legend, you got the fighter, and you got the funny dude.
The funny guy who's just asking you the dumb questions.
The funny guy.
I'll take that any day of the week. But we're playing.
Well, I got to come with you then. If he's already if he's calling me out, then I got to go too.
You got to come, bro. Lake Tahoe is where he's.
I'm jumping on a horse.
Camp, bro.
I did one promo on a horse. I was so terrified, guys. At home, I'm not a horse rider. I've never been on a horse. I got a picture of me with kids, and I'm flexing, and I'm on this horse, and I'm like, is this thing going to kick me off? And they're like, no, don't be scared. I'm like, I am scared. They're like, it knows that. Don't be scared.
Bro, I'm the same way. I'm a New York. We're Long Island guys. There's no freaking. There are horses in where I grew up.
There's plenty of horses, and I used to hang out with some horse people. There, it's a different breed, to put it that way. But I got to find that picture and send it to you. It's me with a bunch of kids and some horses.
Great promo there.
Yeah, the promos you do as a world class fighter are pretty insane.
What the heck on a horse, Canelo? Autopilot. It's kind of disrespectful. I made this question.
Yeah, I don't want necessarily call it autopilot, but I think
change it up.
I think he's doing basically his retirement tour. We saw him. He was in Tokyo, right? I think he does a fight in Tokyo. I think he does a fight in Wembley. I think he just goes on tour, fight Chris Eubank Jr. in Wembley. I mean, that's cool. Go to Tokyo and fight Mimbili or whoever. You know, like I don't think you necessarily need to have a Japanese star to fight because he's such a big attraction. But I foresee him doing that, going on a world tour, and just, you know, gathering wings and going to cool places and fighting in arenas that he can do whatever he wants. That's really the question.
Well, a little pushback on that is he is just he's just very, very into the Mexican pride, and he should be. He's the face of Mexico in terms of sports and face of Mexican boxing. Is he going to leave them? Because we saw that scene in Las Vegas for the Berlanga fight.
Yeah.
It dwarfed the UFC stuff during fight week.
Yeah, but dude, you were in Texas for Billy Joe Saunders, right?
Yeah. No, I was not.
Oh, bro, 80 plus thousand. It was absolutely bananas. That blew away every Canelo Vegas fight I've ever been to.
I agree, but Texas is also has a heavy...
Of course.
But will he go to Wembley? His X amount of fights left.
I think he kills in Wembley. I think people... I mean, I think they blow that place out. Dude, is Canelo coming across the pond? I think Japan would be a lot harder, but I think... I don't know, dude. The built-in fan base in England and in Europe, man.
I'm not denying that he's going to sell out. I get that. I'm not denying that at all. But my point is he going to leave his people? His people come to Vegas. His people will go to Texas. Is he going to leave that with five fights left in his career, if that, to go fight someone at Wembley, to go fight someone in Tokyo? You know, this is a guy for years that did not win over the Mexican fan base until that second Golovkin fight. And now he's a god. I don't know. Are they going to feel a certain way? He thinks about that stuff. His fights air free on Mexican TV. Free.
So awesome.
And this guy is the guy who takes 80% of your soda when you buy it at the arena. But for his people, free. Free 99. So I would love to see him go on this retirement tour. I think that's what... It would soften the blow if he's going to fight a Eubank, if it's in Wembley, because it's something new, it's something different. Although we all just want to see the Benavidez fight. You know, the question should be, will Canelo fight Benavidez in 2025? I'm optimistic, Dan, but I'm starting to think that this just doesn't happen, especially with Benavidez kind of.
And I don't think we see a rematch of Bivol either. I don't think we see better Biev.
So who is it? Crawford?
I think the next fight's going to be in Billy. We're going to see what happens with Skull. I could see Caleb Plant fighting Skull, beating him, and then we get a Caleb Plant rematch.
Strong possibility.
I think the next two fights will probably be in Billy and then Plant.
Plant could fight Skull on a Prime card because Plant was supposed to fight on Prime. That was the original plan. Plant McCombie was supposed to be on Prime. So they put Plant on Prime, and he beats Skull, and then they kind of dangle Canelo in the fight week. That could be a possibility for next second. I don't know how excited people get for that. I think Plant has improved a lot.
Yeah.
I think it would do well. It would be a lot better than Eubank. It would be a lot better than Billy. It would be a lot better than...
The problem is they've already fought, and Canelo already stopped him. You know, it's like... It's a hard hill, but if you really like a hardcore, it's gonna be like, well, look where Caleb Plant's done since then. You know, he's gotten better. He was willing to fight Benavidez, you know?
Yeah.
Well, he's showing a different wrinkle. He showed that he can fight on the inside. And I think that's, you know, he also showed in the Benavidez fight that he learned from the Canelo fight. You know, I thought he was a better version of himself in Benavidez when he fought Canelo. He bent and then broke in the Canelo fight. He bent in the Benavidez fight, but he didn't break. And he kept going. He pushed through. So I think he is a better version. The problem is he's older.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know how
Jazz
fans would get for that. Would you rather see Canelo fight Crawford or Plant 2?
Plant 2. Me, personally. I'm a real fight. Yeah, I don't. The Crawford thing doesn't... It's a little sideshow.
Crawford excites me because I want to see what it looks. I want to see the build up. I want to see the hype.
That'll be the best part. The build up and the hoopla around it will be the best part for sure. But the fight itself,
I want to see if Crawford can do it.
He looks small against Mondromov.
Bro, he looks small standing next to me. Yeah, and I'm on creatine, bro. I get that. I'm big now. I'm a big fucking guy. I stood next to both guys.
Push it.
I stood next to both guys like a week apart. Canelo is so freaking he's like a door.
Dance.
He's
dense. Yes.
Big ass neck. And I'm looking at this guy.
I sparred him. He was 19. His neck was as big as my waist. it's just the guy's, he's got thick wrists, thick ankles, thick neck.
Everything about him. Thick boy. And then I stood next to Crawford a week later.
I call my dog Thick Boy. Thick Boy Nation.
There you go. And then I sit next to Crawford a week later in L.A. for fight week. And keep in mind, he was cutting weight.
Yeah.
But he just looked like a guy that did start his career at 135. He looked like a guy that is going to have to eat as much Taco Bell as I ate last night to get to 168. The size difference is going to be crazy. The height might not be different, but no. That part about, I'm kind of souring myself on this fight, but there's not many out there. I know. It's just this Canelo question is just it's been that for a while. That is our episode for this week, guys. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoy the fights this weekend. Big one, Jack Catterall, our biggest one, Jack Catterall, Regis Progre, Yankees World Series begins, Chris. I'm going to be a different person when the Yankees are in the World Series. I'm trying to go. You see these ticket prices?
Dan, I would say go into debt for it.
Right?
Live. You got to live, dude. Go for it.
It's been 15 years, man. I mean, I didn't even know these parlays.
I'll give you a loan.
How much?
A high interest loan.
What's your interest? You can break my legs if I don't pay it?
Yeah. Yeah. Right, your jaw, not your legs. I'm not a real leg breaker.
I need my jaw. I talk for a living. Exactly. All right, everyone. Enjoy the weekend. Have a good one. Go Yankees. Protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Stay out of those DMs unless you have Yankee World Series tickets.
Ooh.
Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.